together lovely, all together worthy, all together wonder. Sing it again. Oh, here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that makes this heart adore you. Hope of a lifespan chorus. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Oh, I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. Oh, I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. To worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Wonderful to you. Let's praise him. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can be seated if you wish. Here's a total change of pace, but the same thing. Verse 1.
I was lost in sin, but Jesus rescued me. He's a wonderful Savior to me. I was bound by fear, but Jesus set me free. He's a wonderful Savior to me. For he's a wonderful Savior to me. He's a wonderful Savior to me. I was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. He's a wonderful Savior to me. He's a friend so true, so patient and so kind. He's a wonderful Savior to me. Everything I need, in him I always this mighty and wonderful Savior to me. For he's a wonderful Savior to me. He's a wonderful Savior to me.
I was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in.
He's a wonderful Savior to me.
He's always near to comfort and to cheer.
He's a wonderful Savior to me.
He forgives my sins. He dries my every tear. He's a wonderful Savior to me. For he's a wonderful Savior to me. He's a wonderful Savior to me. I was lost in sin, but my Jesus took me in. He's a wonderful Savior to me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Jesus.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and rescue the souls of men. Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, comforter, keeper, Spirit, we long to embrace. Hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost our way. Oh, we hopelessly lost the way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one. For, oh, our hearts always hunger for. Almighty, infinite Father, faithfully loving your own. You find us falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. For, oh, our hearts always hunger for. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace.
it's always hunger. Oh, our hearts always hunger.
Welcome to Sunday School. I hope that you brought your Bibles or at least can view the words up on the screen. Lesson text for this morning is found in Acts chapter 17. Title of the lesson is simply Daily Word Search. I am thankful. I am thankful that I have the Word of God. I'm thankful that I don't have to take somebody's word for it. That I can go to the Word myself, and I can study, and I can read, and I can look therein. Acts chapter 17, verse number 10, begin reading there. And the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those at Thessalonica, in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind. Everybody say readiness of mind. And searched the Scriptures daily. Everybody said daily. Whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Interesting to know and understand that the Bible, the Word of God, which you and I have and have readily available unto us today, is something that much of the world, might I say, doesn't see the relevance that you and I see. They don't believe that the Word of God is applicable as much as we do. They may think it's a good book. They may think it's a good historical accounting of things that happened. And many of them look at it as being somewhat archaic, and you know it's not up to modern standards. And many that try to read certain translations that have a lot of these and thous and the things that are therein often would say that the Bible's good, something that, yeah, you should read if you want to, but it's not really something that we should pattern our lives after. However, you and I, hopefully as believers, do not feel that way. We feel that though the Bible was written thousands of years ago, it is the inspired Word of God. We believe that it is essential to us and our living. It is our daily bread. It is something that we need to look into and partake of. The topic for this morning is simply this: all believers should have the same diligent desire to be sure of what they believe. Now, I realize, and let me just ask this in passing. How many of you, just by a show of hands, were not raised in our denomination, were not raised as a Pentecostal? You came from some other denomination or maybe had no upbringing at all. So there's quite a few here that can testify that what they were raised in, or the doctrine or the teaching or the religion, if you will, that they grew up in was not what they ascribe to today. I dare say if we had opportunity to ask you at what point in time and how you came to the understanding that maybe it was more needful for you to follow this way or to convert, if you will, to our denomination or our system of belief. And please understand, I'm not trying to differentiate. What I'm trying to put across is this. Many of you, if you were asked, would probably say something like, it was through a Bible study, it was through study of the Word myself, it was through teaching and understanding that I came to the revelation that what I was currently believing or what I was currently ascribing to, though it was good and though it was maybe beneficial, it was not everything that I needed. And so study began, and you began to understand there was greater truths and deeper revelations and things pertaining to your life and maybe even your salvation. You came to an understanding via the Word of God. When we look at this example in Acts chapter 17, Paul and Silas have already been to Thessalonica, and there they have gone into the synagogue, and they have reasoned with the Jews in that area. However, the Thessalonians, though some of them believed, and the Bible tells us that, it was difficult for Paul and Silas because the Jews that were there jumped to conclusions. They had their traditions. They had their ways of believing. Paul and Silas tried to reveal unto them through the scriptures, through the Torah, that Jesus was the Christ. And while some of them believed, others did not. Some of them abandoned their tradition. Some of them abandoned their teaching up to that point and decided that what the Apostle Paul and Silas had to say was worth looking into. However, when Paul and Silas come to this place called Berea, as we read in Acts chapter 17, the Bible specifically says that those that were at the synagogue, those Jews that were at the synagogue, and a synagogue is just simply a church, okay? It is a place where believers would gather. And so Paul and Silas in the area of Berea come to the synagogue where the Jews gather for worship, and they begin to teach the same thing that they taught in Thessalonica, that Jesus was the Christ. They began to expound upon the scriptures. And the Bible says that those that were at Berea were more noble than those that were at Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They didn't just hear what Paul and Silas had to say, and because of their tradition and because of the way they had already been taught and because of what they had already learned thus far, decided that's not what we believe. That's not what we ascribe to, Paul, Silas. So thank you. It's great to hear what you had to say, but we'll continue to live as we live and believe as we believe. The Bible says they had readiness of mind. They had the opportunity, if you will, to open their hearts and minds to receive something different. Might I say this? It is rather difficult when you and I are witnessing and when we are maybe conversing with others who are of different persuasions. It is rather difficult to gain any traction with someone who is not willing to at least entertain the possibility of greater truth. And the reality is that what made those at Berea so special is that they had readiness of mind. They were ready to accept that maybe what Paul and Silas had to say concerning the scriptures had truth. They were ready to take what they knew and what they had been raised to thus far. They were ready to reconsider and think maybe there's more to this than what we already know. And might I say this, even now, and many of you know, I'm a sixth generation apostolic Pentecostal, but there had to come a point in time in my life, and I've stated this before, I'll continue to say it, where I had to search the scriptures for myself. I couldn't just take it because that's what Daddy taught me. And while I was raised in a God-fearing home that teaches and preaches and believes as I do today, there had to come a point in time in my life where I had to study for myself. I had to get my nose in the book and determine, is what I am being taught and have been taught all these years, is it right? Is it not just what Dad says or what my family says or what I've been raised in or tradition? Is what I'm being taught and how I'm being raised or how I've been raised, is it in line with the Word of God? Reality is those at Thessalonica didn't have that same desire. They wanted to stay steeped in their tradition and believing as. Matter of fact, they became some of those, the Bible says, in those Jews in Thessalonica, they became stirred up against Paul and Silas. And so Paul and Silas essentially had to leave. That took them to Berea. But in Berea, Paul and Silas found people with a different attitude. They had a readiness of mind. They quickly received the word and said, wait a second, maybe this is worth looking into. maybe what I've been taught thus far, and I say this all the time in talking with people and leading people, I never demean what people have in the sense of their knowledge or their understanding thus far. I never come at them in a argumentative way. I only seek to build upon what they know. I don't want to trash and because many of them have great attachments to those things. They have family, they have loved ones, they have tradition, they have things that they've ascribed to over the years, and I'm not going to diminish that. I'm going to seek to build upon that. I'm going to ask them to entertain the possibility that there's more, that there's greater understanding, that there's greater truth that is available. And the Bible says that these of Berea, that they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether those things were so. Is what Paul and Silas, is what they are preaching unto us, can I find it in here? Can I find it in the Word of God? Now, let us know that at this point in time, they did not have the New Testament. The scriptures that they're referring to is the Torah. They're referring to the Old Testament. So what Paul and Silas are doing is they are preaching Jesus from the Old Testament. They are taking the prophecies which they were familiar with, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. They're taking those scriptures and those writings, and the Apostle Paul and Silas are showing how that through those Old Testament scriptures, Jesus is the Christ. Now, think about it like this. These Bereans, there wasn't a Bible in every drawer of every inn. You'll get that in a minute. Scriptures were not easy to come by in those days. The printing press was not yet invented. They did not have the availability to quickly and accurately duplicate the scripture. So let me ask you this. How did they search the word daily? The reality is they probably all came to the same place and looked at the same set of scriptures. They didn't have Bibles at home. They couldn't go dust it off, you know, from the coffee table and open up and decide to start reading it. They had to, more than likely, they had to come to one place together and begin to search the scriptures together. Hey, isn't this what Paul said? Well, let's look. He referenced Daniel. Let's look in Daniel. Let's see. Let's try to find out. Is that the way it is? Now, here's the other side of that. Well, there are some that are resistant to change, and they don't really want to entertain the possibility that maybe there's more for them. There are others who are the opposite end of the spectrum, who get caught up maybe in the service or caught up in the other people that are a part of it, and they quickly, what we might say, convert. It's you know, they're at a revival, and I'm not against these things, but please understand this. But to really mature and solidify that conversion and that now walk in relationship with Jesus Christ, they have to start studying the Word of God. It's not good enough just to get caught up in the moment or get caught up in the service and just go through the process without understanding why the process is there. Why do I repent? Why am I baptized? Why should I receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? Those are true and honest questions. And here's the thing. I guarantee you that Paul and Silas were not offended that the Bereans were studying. I guarantee you that Paul didn't get up and say, hey, you don't need to look that up. Just trust me. Just trust me. I've said this before. I'll continue to say it. I challenge you. When you hear something come from this pulpit, search it. Make sure it's in there. Make sure that what is being taught and what is being preached is aligning with the Word of God. It ain't about my word. It's about the Word. It's not about what thus saith the preacher. It's about what thus saith the Word of God. And if what thus saith the preacher doesn't line up with what thus saith the Word of God, You better follow what thus saith the word of God. And so we find these that have, they're at Berea. They have a readiness of mind. They want to receive. They're ready to look and to make sure that what Paul is preaching and teaching is right and is correct. Here's the thing. And this is something we have to, in discipling people and leading them. We have to make sure that we're not just selling the gospel without selling the truth of the gospel. Without selling the study of the gospel. Without selling to them, hey, you need to bury your face in the book and find it for yourself. Don't just take my word for it. Don't just think that meeting here and having a little Bible study is going to get you to where you need to be. You need to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You need to bury your face in the book yourself. Often, if we're not careful in the urgency of evangelism, we lose sight of the importance of the quality of a conversion as opposed to the quantity of conversions. Have a multiple soul revival. It's well and good. I'm not against those things. But a year later, how many of those multiple souls are still coming and still maturing? Still growing in their walk in relationship with God. I'm all about people understanding about the message of salvation. I'm all about people understanding the need for repentance and baptism in His name and the infilling of His Spirit. I'm all about that. I'll continue to preach and teach that. And I challenge you, search the word yourself to see if what I'm saying and what I'm preaching is there. Make sure. Make your calling and election sure. How do you do that? You search the word. You search the scriptures. I don't want to get so caught up in the urgency of evangelism that I forget about a quality conversion, how that someone is truly discipled. And they're not just discipled by coming on a Sunday or a Wednesday in here. They're discipled by studying the Word. And the Bible says they search the Word daily. If I were asked a show of hands of those that were not raised in this but came to the understanding, how quickly did it happen? And I dare say that there are different stories. That some you readily received and began immediately and things began to happen. But others for you, it took a while. You came to the understanding. But in that search and in that study of the Word of God and in looking into the Scripture, it took more convincing for you. But somewhere along the line, you became convinced. Somewhere along the line in your study and in your interaction, you became convinced that conversion was necessary. That converting from what you currently understood and what you currently believed into a greater understanding was essential or necessary for you. Let me just stop right here and say this. This, quite frankly, is why a lot of people don't read the Word of God. Because they don't want to be brought face to face with the reality of what needs to change. They don't want to study because it will show them and what they do as disapproving to God. I know it's going to get quiet at this point. But let me ask you this. If the Bible says that the Bereans were more noble than those at Thessalonica because they came with a readiness of mind and they searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things be so. And then the Bible says, and many of them believed. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so if we come into the house and we're inspired to believe and we're inspired to have faith and we're inspired that God can change us and God can make us a new creature and God can do these things in our lives and help us to be better in all the facets and faculties of who we are, but we leave here and then don't solidify that through study. One of the greatest things anybody can do in their conversion process is be a student of the Word. To be someone who opens the book and begins to read it and apply it to their life. I'll just say this. The best people in all the world are people who pattern their lives according to the principles and precepts of the Word of God. And if we all did it, the world would be a virtual utopia. But we don't. But if we did, if we took more, and I'm still doing it. Don't think that because I'm in a pulpit or I have pastor in front of my name that I'm exempt from getting my nose in the hole. I need, and it's even more essential that I am getting fed from the Word so that I can feed. So that when I come to the pulpit and when I come to the teaching session or I come to the lectern and I begin to deliver something or I begin to preach something, I want it to be the Word, not my Word. Yes, so is it important that we fact check? Is it important that we put our face in the book and don't jump to conclusions nor dismiss by reason of tradition, but to study, to verify? Is what that individual saying, is it true? Is it true according to the Word of God? Is it something that is there, that is written therein? And again, I stress that it wasn't just something that they could do in passing. It was something that they had to make it a priority and a point to study. They didn't have a smartphone. They couldn't pull up a Bible app and do a word search in the concordance. We have so many tools that are available to us. I've said it before. I say it again. As a kid, I remember my dad prepared for Sunday. On Saturday night, the kitchen table was his. And the reason why he needed the whole kitchen table is because he had the Bible and he had a concordance and he had the Bible dictionary. And he had all these things with which he studied the Word of God. Now, man, we have it all. It's right there. You pull it all up on an iPad, iPhone. You can study. You can do an in-depth study pretty quickly. You can do in 30 minutes nowadays what took them 10, 20 years ago, 3 hours. It's that simple. And we have the Word of God more readily available than at any point in time in history. But the sad reality is we interact with it less. A few amens on that one. But we should. We should learn from the people like the Bereans, who didn't have ready access, but had a readiness of mind and decided we need to study. We need to make sure that what they're saying is true. We're not just going to take their word for it. We're going to study whether these things be so. And I challenge you. If you don't have a Bible, there's Bibles back there on the table. You can take it. It's free. It's a bread Bible. It gives you a selection for reading every day. Take it. It's yours. If you want to learn Spanish, there's Spanish Bibles back there. The Word of God is readily accessible unto us. And make no mistake, the more you interact with it, the more it will change you. The more it will enrich your life. The more it will bring you to those crossroads of decision and choice as to what I do. Do I follow? And the Bible lets us know that God honors those who search the Scripture. God honors those who will look into the perfect law of liberty and decide to pattern their lives after. God honors those who will take those principles. And let's just face it. Are they easy? No. Are the things that are presented in the Word of God, living those out on a daily basis, is it a breeze? No. It takes, shall I say, discipline. It takes you and I determining that I'm not perfect, but guess what? I'm being perfected. The more I read and the more I interact and the more I allow the process of the Word of God to take its place in my life, the better I am. The more Bible I apply to who I am as a person, the better I become. The Word of God has that availability to change us, to show us the way in which we should go. The Word of God is a map for the journey, not just a map to the treasure. Yes, I, like you, endeavor to make heaven my home. I, like you, am searching and I'm seeking. Here's the reality. I'm searching and seeking in this everyday life and the journey that I live and doing what I do, because I know it's beneficial for me. It's beneficial for my family. The more I can take this word and apply it to my life, and the more principles that I can apply to who I am as a person, the better off I will be, the better pastor I'll be, the better husband I'll be, the better father I'll be, the better employee I'll be. Not necessarily in that order, but it is the understanding that the more I interact with the Word of God, the better I am. I know I've said it a couple times, but I'll say it again. I never, ever, ever am offended if people come to me and say, how did you come to this understanding? Where does that come from? I hope that you will understand in my preaching and my teaching, there's scripture citations. It's not just my opinion. And I would to God that those that preach things that are and teach things that are not of the Word of God, and though they may be the principle may be there, but to truly understand what the Word of God says in relation to that is absolutely essential. Why do we believe this way? Why do we teach in accordance with this? Well, the Bible says so that we can present ourselves approved unto God. Listen, it doesn't matter if man approves of it, if God disapproves of it. I know it's not a popular opinion nowadays. But if the whole world, the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. He is the only one who utters absolute truth. And so the only way that I can be assured that what I am presenting and what I am preaching is true is to study the Word of God. And as I do, I grow thereby. Maturity in our walk in relationship with God comes when a person has learned to use the Scriptures and apply them in their lives. They've taken those principles and teachings and they've put them into action to determine what is good and what is evil. Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews said this. Hebrews 5, 13 and 14. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even though who by reason of use have their senses exercised. Use what? What are they using that exercises their senses to know the difference between good and evil? To be able to discern between what is right and what is wrong? What are they using? What have they become skillful in the application of? The word of righteousness. They have been looking into the law of liberty and they have been applying it to their life. And the writer of Hebrews says, they're grown-ups. I don't mean to be brash, but unfortunately, there's a lot of people in a lot of churches who are still and will remain on the bottle. And whatever the minister in the pulpit decides to put in the bottle. Please understand. I'm not demeaning. What I'm saying is that at some point in time, if they truly want to grow and they truly want to understand God's will for their life and they truly want to understand salvation full and free, at some point in time, they got to get off the bottle. It can't be just about what the preacher puts in the bottle on Sunday. It's got to be the understanding, I need to mature from this. I need to some way get off, put away childish things and start getting some true meat of the Word and applying that to my life. Strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I made this analogy before. I'm close to closing. When I would live back in Florida, sometimes get in Walmart and get turned around and try to find something, couldn't find it, can't find anybody to help me. On more than one occasion, you know what I did? I called my mom. You know why I called my mom? Because my mom spent a lot of time in Walmart. She knew where everything was. I could say, hey, Mom, I'm looking for this. And she'd tell me, not the exact aisle location, but she'd tell me general proximity where it was. Sometimes she could tell me right where it was. And the reason why, she's a skilled shopper. She spent a lot of time in Walmart. Let me make this parallel, and I hope you don't find it to be silly, but we have people who have needs. And they need someone who spent enough time in the Word that they could easily. I may not be able to tell you chapter and verse. I may not be able to take you right down the aisle and point you on what shelf. But what I can tell you is that I have a pretty good idea that that's in there. And I can find the principle for it. I may not be able to give you a location right now. But just give me a little time to study and we'll go there together and I'll be able to show you because I know it's in there. I've walked that aisle before. I've seen that shelf before. I've spent time in that area before and I can tell you we may not have it verbatim yet, but we will. We'll get there and we'll make sure. We'll look at the product specs and make sure it's exactly what we need in our lives. Can you stand to your feet? Maybe one of the most important understandings concerning the Word of God is that it's more than just a daily guidebook for effective living. It's more than just a record of all God's promises and all His provision. It's more than just a recipe for a good life.
Yes.
God's Word is a map to know Him.
Yes, truth.
The Word of God leads me to the God of the Word. I'll say that. The Word of God leads me to the God of the Word.
Yes, yes.
Helps me know His love, His mercy, and His forgiveness, His protection, His power, security. So the more I study, the more I interact with the Word of God, the more I know Him. The more the features of who He is are defined in my life and I see Him for who He is. So Lord, let me look into Your Word. Let me be as the Bereans. Let me do a daily word search where I'm looking into the Word of God. I challenge you. Encourage you. We believe in reading the Word of God. We incentivize reading the Word of God every first Sunday of every month. We give a small token of those who are keeping up with their Bible reading. Why? Because we believe it is absolutely essential and important to the life.
Yes.
Read it for yourself. When you come and you hear the Word of God, go home. Open the book. Make sure it says what they say it said. Not to look for loopholes. Not to find discrepancies so I can disagree and decide it's not for me. But so that I can grow and mature. Exercise my senses thereby. Know the difference between good and evil. Lord, help me search Your Word. In a few moments, our classes are going to be returning. We open the altars for prayer. Spend some time in prayer before we go into the next portion session this morning. God bless you.
Order my steps in Your Word. Order my steps in Your Word, dear Lord. Lead me, guide me, every day. in your world.